Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
You're going to give me the names and the names of their victims.
Are you threatening me?
I was doing my job.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
I am here because I care. We're going to tell this story. We're going to tell it right.
I'm hoping we can keep this between us until we all get on the same page.
Is that why we're here, to get on the same page? We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy, and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
I'm not crazy. They control everything.
This is not just Boston. It's a whole country. It's a whole world.
They knew, and they let it happen. It could have been you. It could have been me. It could have been any of us.
That's a bit of the trailer from the movie Spotlight. Of course, it deals with the story of the Priestley abuse scandal back in the 90s and the early 2000s in the Boston Archdiocese, a story of investigative journalists and a team of investigative journalists that began to open up that story and began to tell it to a nation. Now, this is not old news. It's something that the church continues to deal with. What about this movie? Does it kind of just simply become Roman Catholic bashing, or can it deal with it? Well, in a, maybe for lack of a better word, a good journalistic sense. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, December the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing the movie Spotlight. Pastor Ted Giese will join us here in the first half hour of the program a little bit later. Pastor Charles St. Ange will join us. There are attempts by scientists to enlist the religious community and its authorities to make the case for global warming. They're pretty much convinced that the only thing that will convince the general population to do more about global warming is if they appeal to the heart and therefore to religious sensibilities. We're going to find out why this is their strategy and talk about it with Pastor Charles St. Ange, author of the book Five Things You Could Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us after that. We'll have a few of his thoughts on remarks made about Islam during President Obama's Oval Office address last night. A lot of people are talking about the various aspects of that Oval Office address. I want to focus on what he had to say about Islam and radical Islam. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us after that. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, The Birth of Jesus Foretold in Luke chapter 1. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions and your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Spotlight, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Subject matter of this film is well known to anybody who's read a newspaper or been on the internet in about the last 20 years. It's mostly the priestly abuse scandal that kind of centered around the Boston Archdiocese. So does Spotlight succumb to the temptation that much of Hollywood does, which is kind of just depicting the Roman Catholic Church as largely and uniformly sinister?
I think overall in this movie, if there's a party that's going to come off more guilty than another, then it would be the Archdiocese of Boston. But the movie doesn't really only deal with that particular institution. So it does actually consider and think about how the police department and the legal community and the newspaper community, the journalistic community itself, all of these institutions are in some way to blame. And that comes out in this movie. So in some ways, it's a more balanced approach to it. One of the characters in the film, played by Stanley Tucci, a lawyer, he kind of takes that Hillary Clinton quote and kind of twists it to kind of make a better meaning of it for this particular story. He says, if it takes a village to raise a child, it also takes a village to abuse one. That's the truth of it. And that's kind of the thing that this movie is examining and thinking about, which is kind of interesting. So that's a longer answer to the question, but it's not just the Roman Catholic Church as an institution that is at fault in the way that this movie deals with the story.
So we know the basic subject matter. How does it approach the story? How does it tell the story?
It's kind of a very interesting way of doing it because sometimes with movies like this, you can expect maybe to have the drama all ramped up. So one movie that people might think about in connection with this kind of movie would be something like All the President's Men. But this movie doesn't go for that kind of high level of drama. It's more focused on the performances themselves by the actors. The acting is more subtle, more naturalistic. And it's also not a particularly flashy movie. It's a very mundane movie. All of the clothing and the sets and everything are very run-of-the-mill, daily, regular kind of stuff. So it kind of takes the air out of it being like a really flashy, edge-of-the-seat thriller kind of a thing and gets more into a thoughtful look at these journalists who are discovering and figuring out the story. And that's the way it comes about this, is that it's focused on your angle into the wider story of this this abuse cover-up is through the eyes of the four people team of investigative journalists.
You made the comparison to All the President's Men, which was either loosely or tightly based upon real-life reporters, real-life investigative journalists, and a real-life thing. Now, we know that the subject matter here is tragically real-life. Does it tell a true-to-life story, if not, you know, a documentary, true-to-life story of how these journalists worked? Are we dealing with real characters here?
I think so. I mean, there's only so much you can do in, like, an hour and, you know, an hour, like 2 hours long, right? So it's 128 minutes. So you got a lot of stuff to cram into that amount of time. But they do a good job of looking at these four investigators and really kind of looking at how they're interacting with the story itself, which is really interesting. And the other thing that I think is neat, and like I love listening to Issues Etc., and some of my favorite segments are with Terry Mattingly and with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. Some of the very things that they talk about regularly when they're on Issues Etc. are things that, you know, come up in this movie. So the idea that, you know, when a reporter contacts, like, let's say, the church, like in this case, the Roman Catholic Church, and has questions, the better thing to do would be for the church to talk to them. But even, like, in this movie, there's a spot where the archdiocese gets back to them and says, we don't even want to see your questions. So this is the exact same sort of thing that Terry Mattingly often talks about, and it's kind of really interesting because there's a spot in the movie where Rachel McAdams, who's a Canadian actress actually, she does the thing that's a good thing for reporters to do, actually going and knocking on the door and just trying to talk to somebody. And when that happens, the most amazing, wildly unpredictable occurrence happens. She's talking to, it's one of the very few moments in the movie where they actually talk to one of the priests, and what he says to her is distressing and strange. And, you know, reading up on this movie, that bit of dialogue back and forth, the reporter herself who's being portrayed in the movie said that scene was the way it happened in real life. And the writer of the film, Josh Singer, and Todd McCarthy, McCarthy is the director too, they just said you can't make this kind of dialogue up. You know, the it hits on these moments that are very real and takes the thing that would be unbelievable, that is a real thing, and plunks it right down in the movie. So so much of the movie, from what I can tell, and just the tone of it itself, comes across very genuine.
You say that the film does not discount the spiritual facet of the story. What do you mean by that?
Well, each of these characters has the four central characters, who are played by Michael Keaton and Rachel McAdams and Mark Ruffalo, and this Brian D'Archie James. Each of them has their, like, they're all lapsed Roman Catholics themselves, these four reporters. And each of them has some kind of struggle of vocation or actually of their own faith as they're going through investigating the story. So they're talking with people who have been abused. They're talking with lawyers and with the diocese and different people trying to get to the bottom of everything. And one of the characters, Resendez, played by Mark Ruffalo, he has this great telling kind of moment, and this gets at that spiritual end of it. He himself said, you know, like, he liked going to church as a kid. And he had always, and then he confesses to the other reporter, he says, I always kind of thought that I would go back eventually. But the thing is that the story itself is eroding the opportunity or the thought or the hope he had had that maybe he would end up going back to church later in life. And this is something that one of the people who had been abused as a child, now as an adult, said that it's not just the physical abuse of the sexual abuse that's happening, but when a priest does that to their victim, they're also doing spiritual abuse, that the victim is in danger of losing their faith. And then through the course of the film, you see different people who are being impacted by that, even just being close to the story, how damaging it can be and how much of a challenge spiritually it is. So that's really interesting. There's another character, a ex-priest who's a psychiatrist. And you never see him on camera. He's only just through telephone calls. And his name is Richard Sipe. And he says, you know, when he's getting asked about this, like, well, how are you still a Roman Catholic? And his answer is, the church is an institution of men, and that's passing. My faith is in the eternal. I try to separate the two. And he says this to this Resendez, who is struggling with the idea of ever going back to church now that he has had his hopes being dashed by this particular scandal.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Spotlight on this Monday, December the 7th. When we come back, I wonder how Roman Catholic viewers are going to react to Spotlight. A few more minutes reviewing the movie Spotlight with Pastor Ted Giese, then Pastor Charles St. Ange joins us to talk about some recent attempts by advocates of global warming to enlist religious authorities to help make their case. Stay tuned.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit christrochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Oh, come.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Spotlight. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, how do you think that Roman Catholic viewers are going to react to this movie on a very sensitive subject, on this priestly abuse scandal in the form of Spotlight?
I was sitting next to a lady, and I'm pretty sure she was a Roman Catholic lady in the movie theater. I didn't stop and ask her afterwards, but at the very end of the movie, what happens is that it's all focused on this story being investigated in Boston. And then at the end of the movie, there's just like this list of different dioceses and cities and places where this same kind of thing had happened. And it's like a long list. It's like two or three title cards of this stuff comes up. And she says, like, you know, she just said, oh, my Lord. Like, she was, like, really bothered by it. And it's a bothering thing. This is a distressing movie in a lot of ways. It's an important movie. It's a good one for people to see. I think that there'll be kind of two different things that will happen. One group of people will be, I didn't know about all this. Somehow they missed it. They avoided it. They didn't tune into it when it was all kind of coming out around 2001 and then in the preceding years afterwards. There's going to be another group of Roman Catholics. Like there's this Bishop Robert Barron, who I watched a little video of him talking about it, and he said, you know, a lot has happened since then in terms of the Roman Catholic Church trying to deal with this topic and deal with these situations differently than it had before. So in a way, the other group of Roman Catholics are going to be like, you know, you're just kind of making it look like we've done nothing, right? So there's going to be people who will be upset with it because, again, it just can't get into every single aspect of all of it. It's telling this particular story of the uncovering of the story. But anybody who's watching this movie, they should go and, like, look into the story, like check what's been going on, because I think that there is a bigger thing happening just in general, and I think that it's good for people to use this as a springboard into looking at the bigger story.
It is a film that obviously has to operate with a moral compass, a moral center, and then deal with, ironically, in some ways, the moral conscience of American society, at least what often functions as the moral conscience of American society, the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. What are your thoughts there?
I think it's interesting because the guy that this movie really is hinging on is this Walter Robinson. He's the lead investigator for the Spotlight team that the movie is based, like the named after, played by Michael Keaton. And last year, Michael Keaton won for Best Actor at the Oscars for the movie Birdman, and we talked about that. And people thought, well, you know, he's had a good career. He's done a lot of good acting. This movie, if anybody was wondering if he really should have won an Oscar or not, this movie should clear that up because he's fabulous in this. And in terms of the moral compass of the movie, like, it's all kind of pinioned on him. And this is a bit of a spoiler, so if people haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil just this little part of it. He, as a character, realizes that he missed the story in the past. He doesn't even know that he missed the story. It was so pervasive within Boston that he didn't think there was a story there. So by a journalistic sin of omission, he had buried a story years earlier that was actually part of this story that should have been told. And I think that that's the question of virtue in the middle of all of this is, you know, when it's the right time to do something, are you going to do it? Or will you not talk about it or turn the other way or not look towards doing what needs to be done? And he's the middle of that. He's right in the middle of it. And being in this very important place within the Boston Globe newspaper, being the head of this special investigatory team, he's part of a hierarchy. Like that's one of the institutions of Boston is the Boston Globe. So in a way, he's failed, and he has to come to terms to grips with that. And there was a moment in the movie where there was this very, I guess it's just like a gracious moment where his editor, so his boss, talks about how essentially, you know, like reporters are often just stumbling around in the dark, and that when once the lights get flipped on, there's enough blame to go around for everyone. And it doesn't absolve Robinson's character, but it does show the importance of getting the story right when you finally can.
Finally, what are your pastoral concerns about who might watch this movie? Obviously, we're talking about not just sensitive, but really mature content in many ways.
Yeah, and like they don't, it's not lurid, it's not sensationalistic, it's not a melodrama. It's serious, though, and I think that if somebody knows that it's just not going to be for them, then they should avoid it. But if they do actually want to think about some of the bigger questions at hand, I would say go see it. Of the movies this year, particularly of this kind, just like a straight drama movie, not a genre movie or anything like that, this is probably the best one. This is certainly the best one I've seen. And it's well worth taking a look at. It'll probably come up during Oscar season and all that kind of stuff. But apart from any of that, it's good to look at. The other thing that's good to consider, and a good reason for people to go see it, is that maybe it'll, for anybody who goes to see it, it becomes an opportunity to look anew at the idea of celibacy for Roman Catholic priests and whether or not that's a good thing. And as Lutherans, since 1530, we've been saying that priests should be able to get married just like they used to be able to. And our Lutheran pastors are encouraged to be married and to have a family and to do all of that. And that's something worth thinking about. So if somebody goes and sees this movie, take the opportunity. If you're a Lutheran, go find, or if you're not a Lutheran, go find Article 23 of the Augsburg Confession and read it. You can find it online. And it's wonderful, and it's worth thinking about. And this movie can be a way to get thinking about that thing. So that would be my pastoral concern, is to not just watch this movie and let the opportunity pass. Like, take the time to think about these important topics and how you yourself can even be a part of it in the wider, bigger conversation that needs to take place.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Spotlight at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Pastor Charles St. Ange about, well, I guess global warming advocates are seeking some religious authority behind their case. They're asking religious leaders to help them make the case on climate change. Stay tuned.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about. The birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.